Welcome to Sacred Legions. I'm Max Goller. Philippe Mutebi is the founder and executive director of Human Rights and Economic Empowerment Development in Uganda, more simply known as HEREED. In 2025, HEREED provided legal assistance to over 500 LGBTQIA people subject to arrest, eviction, violence, and other human rights violations. In 2023, HEREED partnered with Rainbow Railroad of Canada due to the increased risks they faced in their home country of Uganda after the passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act. Philippe is joined by saintly sidekicks Onyango Dimani and Anisha Nabkira. Welcome to Sacred Legions, Philip, Anisha, and Onyango. So I'm going to start out with the question of when and where HEREED started. Philippe, can you tell me about the formation of HEREED?
Okay, thank you so much, Max. First of all, it is a great honor for me to be here, to be part of this interview. So HEREED was founded in 2009 when I was still at school. At that time, I came together with other four members because we were witnessing violence, discrimination, harassment and other forms of abuse against the LGBTQ community in our communities. What affected us most was seeing people experiencing serious violations, but having very few places to turn for help. So people could attack, arrest, evict from their homes, rejected by their families or denied by basic services. And sometimes there were nobody willing to stand with the LGBTQ suspects. That experience gave us the idea of creating an organization that could promote and protect the rights of LGBTQ persons in Uganda, to provide practical support to the LGBTQ persons facing challenges. We started very small, but the vision was always bigger than the organization itself. We wanted to understand that LGBTQ people are human beings to deserve dignity, safety, justice, and the opportunity to live their lives without violence or discrimination. But over the years, HEREED has grown into a grassroots organization working in areas including access to justice, our emergency shelter. We have been providing emergency shelter to the people in need, to those victims who have been rejected by their parents, who have been chased away from their homes by their relatives from the communities. And we have also tried to conduct prison visits, economic empowerment, community awareness, research, and documentation.
The next question then, Philippe. What are the core goals of HEREED?
First of all, at the heart of HEREED, it is the protection of human dignity and human rights. Our first goal is to ensure that vulnerable persons and marginalized people can access justice, legal protection, particularly when they experience arrests, violence, eviction, discrimination, or other human rights violations. Another important area is emergency shelter. Through this HEREED shelter, we provide shelter and support the homeless and highly vulnerable LGBTQ persons. Many of the people who have come to us have experienced rejection, homelessness, violence, displacement, and they need somewhere safe while they try to rebuild their lives. We also conduct prison visits. We work with prison authorities to provide legal awareness to the inmates. In the prisons, we do identify people who need our legal assistance and provide practical livelihood skills. For example, during one of our recent prison visits to Jinja Main Prison, our team met 379 inmates. There we registered 84 cases for possible legal aid follow-up and provided liquid soap making and training to 28 inmates. And we left them happy. Another important goal is community awareness. Here we conduct sessions to educate LGBTQ members about their rights, including what they can do when they are arrested, because most of them, they lack knowledge on what to do when they are arrested, when they are threatened, evicted, or subjected to violence. We also engage community leaders and security agencies because we believe lasting change requires dialogue. So that's why we engage these people. We want leaders, police, and other security actors to understand the humanity and the rights of LGBTQ people and to respond to them fair and professional, not to violate their rights, because we have seen many cases where LGBTQ suspects have been beaten badly, tortured in the police cells, denied their rights like other inmates or prisoners. Yes. So finally, we work on economic empowerment because someone who has no income, no employment, and no family support can remain trapped in homelessness and vulnerability. So we want people to acquire skills and an income, eventually become independent.
What do you see as some of Hurid's greatest achievements so far?
Okay, thank you, Max, for posing that question. I'll first of all thank the previous speaker, Philip. I've been listening from Damali's computer. So my response to that, one of our greatest achievements is simply that we have remained present for people who often have nowhere else to go. For example, in 2025, Hurid, we had 507 legal cases. These involved arrests, evictions, violence, and other matters that affect the LGBTQ plus people. And here, we successfully completed 406 cases of among those ever since 2025 up to now. We also have our shelter that has been very important to these people. Through our Hurid shelter, we have managed to provide accommodation and support to over 52 homeless and at-risk LGBTQ persons. For us, those are not just numbers, because every person represents an individual story and someone who needed safety at a very difficult moment. Another achievement that I'm excited about is our prison visitors. Through this, we have been able to work with prison authorities in Uganda and manage to reach inmates with legal education and livelihood skills through the economic empowerment program. The example is our recent visit at Main Prison, which we conducted in August. And here we are able to meet 396 inmates. We managed to document 84 cases for those that required possible legal follow-up. And we are still following up on these cases to ensure that all these people get justice in their cases. We have also managed to reach many people through our economic empowerment program. For example, in 2025, our economic empowerment activity reached to over 1,342 individuals in Uganda at large, including people in prisons and the community members at large who needed our support.
I really appreciate it, Onyango, that you mentioned that Hurid has many things that can be identified by number, that there are numbers of cases that can be identified. But you mentioned that the most important thing wasn't the numbers. Those are a measure of what you're doing. But the most important thing was the connection to humanity, that every one of those numbers you're representing is a different human being and represents different human struggles and needs different things as a human being and needs to be recognized for their humanity. And I really appreciated that part of what you were saying. And the fact that you're helping homeless people, inmates, people who may have been rejected by their families, providing economic activity, I think all of that was very important to me.
Thank you, Max, for appreciating. Okay, just to supplement, then The issue is like we have also reached out to many people through economic empowerment, teaching them hands-on skills, the LGBTQ members. For example, in 2025, our economic empowerment activities reached 1,342 individuals, including people in prison and community members and the LGBTQ members. But perhaps one of the achievements I value most is building relationships with the institutions that are sometimes difficult for the LGBTQ communities to engage with. For example, like the Uganda Prison Service, which is responsible for the prisoners. So they gave us a permission to access the prisons in Uganda, and we do monitor human rights for the prisoners, for the inmates, and also to provide legal aid support. So that gives us a chance to identify LGBTQ cases, but we are not straight telling them that we are going there to identify LGBTQ cases. So we just go there to conduct the prison visitors agreed. But in the end, we identify LGBTQ cases after interviewing all the inmates, because the prison officers, they give us all the inmates and we interview them. So we also continue to engage community leaders, security agencies, and prison authorities, because we believe that dialogue and education can create a better understanding and better protection.
Yeah, and that education part, I think, is very important. And it's something that we need here as well. Clearly, we don't have the challenges of the legal system seeking to imprison LGBTQIA peoples in the United States, but the humanity and treatment of them is still very, very poor. And it is important that that be overcome. Your organization also does outreach to community leaders in order to educate them and get them to understand what your organization is about. What are you most interested in your community leaders learning about what your organization does and about the LGBTQIA communities?
Yeah, the most important message is very simple. LGBTQ people are human beings. That's what we told them first. Before someone sees our sexual orientation or gender identity, they should see a person has a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister, a friend, a worker, a student, a parent, a neighbor. So we want people to understand that having a different sexual orientation or gender identity does not make someone less human or less deserving of dignity. We also want leaders and security agencies to understand that LGBTQ persons have rights under the Constitution and international human rights standard. And those rights should be respected and protected by them without discrimination. Our message is not about asking people to agree with everything about LGBTQ people, because we understand that most of the people are homophobic. We understand the environment we are working in. So our main message is not about asking them to agree that everything about LGBTQ persons, but it is about asking people to reject violence, to stop torture, humiliation, arbitrary arrest, mob justice, discrimination, and other forms of violence. That's what we are asking the community leaders and the security agencies. So you can agree with someone, but still they treat them as human beings. I think most of the leaders, they have been witnessing what has been happening. I'm talking about those who are not homophobic, but they have been witnessing, seeing the mob finishing someone who's alive, seeing the relatives chasing away their brothers and sisters because they are gay, they are homosexuals. They have been also engaging in writing eviction orders, chasing the LGBTQ tenants from the buildings after being approached by the landlords. So we want them to respect human rights for LGBTQ persons and to know that LGBTQ persons are born, they are not made, but they are born.
So Onyango, I've got you back now. Can you speak to what some of the greatest challenges LGBTQIA plus people are currently experiencing in Uganda, particularly since the passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Max, for the opportunity given to me to reply to the question. Some of the challenges these people are facing are, one of them is rejection. These people are rejected by families, churches, all other social engagements. They are not allowed to engage in any social activities. They are rejected. Another point is these people are given harsh punishments. For example, they are given physical tortures on their bodies, humiliations. They are insulted in different ways. These people are rejected by the community in every activity they go to involve. These people face the problem of poor medication because they cannot access medical care at the healthcare facilities due to fear of discrimination and also criticism from the community.
And Onyango, if you want to pick up from the point, so I got from you the sense of being rejected and humiliated and the poor healthcare. So if you want to pick up from that point about the healthcare situation and kind of carry on from there.
Yes. Then there's a point I say these people get the problem of homelessness and vulnerability because they are rejected by families, the community, relatives. They all reject these people. These people get the problem of arrest and harsh detention because here in our community, when someone hears that you're involved in that category of group, people, they bring the police people, they arrest you, they detain you, and you get harsh treatment like serious beating, torture, insults. These people also get the problem of harsh punishment like torture, insults, humiliation, and others. They are also facing the problem of segregation because they segregate them in every place they go. For example, they are not allowed to attend social gatherings. They are segregated in churches. For example, family meetings, they are not allowed to attend as individuals. In schools, they are segregated. They are not allowed to attend schools as normal individuals.
Sorry, that is an incredible array of negative things that are faced by the LGBTQIA community in Uganda. And all of it is so socially isolating. It makes me think of people I've interviewed who've been put in solitary confinement, in imprisonment, and just how difficult it was for them to deal with a lack of human contact. And now this is like a societal idea that these people are just isolated by everyone. No one wants to acknowledge them, either because they're worried about what the law may do to them or just because they are homophobic themselves. And all of that is just incredibly tragic to me. So those consequences are horrendous.
Yes, Max, sorry for interruption, but I want to supplement over that question.
Please do.
Yes, I'm responding to the question, what are some of the greatest challenges LGBTQ people are currently experiencing in Uganda, particularly since the Anti-Homosexuality Act was passed? In response to that, the environment has become much more difficult and fearful, particularly following the passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act of 2023. One of the biggest challenges is fear. Because as I said earlier, that most of the LGBTQ persons who were defending the rights of others, they gave up and they are now in a closet. So people are afraid of being exposed, reported, arrested, attacked because of their perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. We see this affecting many areas of life. People can lose their homes because landlords or neighbors discover or suspect that they are LGBTQ people. Some people are rejected by their families, others lose employment and are forced to leave the communities after issuing by the local leaders. So we have seen many individuals suffering, sleeping on the streets after being evicted by the local leaders in their communities, are saying that they cannot allow them to live in their communities because of what they are. And you have also witnessed the incidents where the family members have chased away their sons, their sisters, for being what they are. So there are also cases involving arrests and detention. People may not understand their legal rights, and some become afraid to seek legal aid support because they fear further exposure. Another challenge is violence. LGBTQ people can experience physical attacks by state and non-state actors, threats, humiliation, and mob justice in the communities where they live. Then another challenge, the legal environment can also make more difficult for organizations like HURID to provide assistance safely. Since the law is punishing the human rights defenders by 20 years in prison, and also the organizations who are defending rights of LGBTQ persons, they are punished for license cancellation, fines of 1 billion Ugandan shillings. Executive director is arrested and charged on homosexuality charges once they found out that the organization is defending rights. So human rights defenders and organizations supporting LGBTQ persons can themselves become targets of suspicion and intimidation. And we have witnessed a lot. Myself, I was summoned several times by different police stations on allegations of promoting homosexuality and recruiting young boys into homosexuality. So in 2022, I was summoned by a certain police station, which I will not mention here. So they summoned me and I went there. I made a statement. I was charged and released on a police bond. So I was called back at the police. When I went back, I was warned and intimidated by the police, saying that I should stop doing my work. I should stop defending rights for the LGBTQ persons. But on my side, it is my commitment, and I told them I cannot stop because they also need services like other people, and they are not threats in the community. So they nicknamed me names like gay lawyer and other names, mocking me, sending threats to me, promising me for further arrest, which didn't stop me. I'm still doing the work. So what concerns me most is that homelessness and vulnerability can reinforce each other. Someone who loses their home may have nowhere safe to go. That is why our shelter work is so important, because it saves lives and it also provides accommodation for those who are homeless, for those who are looking for a safe place to live after experiencing the violence. We are trying to provide immediate protection while also helping people access justice, acquire skills, and work toward independent living.
Well, and I'm going to follow up with you a little bit too. Your personal story demonstrates some of the challenges of living in Uganda. And I don't want to introduce any trauma for you, but can you give me some of your backstory? And you just did a very good job of explaining your commitment to helping others. But what has it been like for you in Uganda, particularly since the passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act?
Being in Uganda has given me personal understanding of why this worker is necessary, because I have witnessed violence and I have helped people to get justice in the courts of law and at police. I have seen and experienced the fear that comes with being identified as LGBTQ persons or person. There is always an awareness that something as simple as who you are or who people believe you are exposes you to rejection, discrimination, or any danger. But I try not to allow those experiences define my life. Instead, they strengthened my commitment to helping others. When I see a young person who has been rejected by their family or by a family member and is sleeping somewhere unsafe, I understand why a shelter matters. When I see someone arrested and they don't understand what is happening to them, I understand why legal assistance matters. When I meet someone who believes that their life has ended because they have been rejected, I understand why hope and economic empowerment matters. My personal experience has therefore become part of my motivation to create solutions for other people to live in a safe space and also to get justice. I also want people listening to understand that LGBT persons are not simply victims. They are strong people. They have talents, dreams, families, careers, ambitions. They want the same basic things everyone else wants, including safety, dignity, love, opportunity, and a chance to build meaningful life.
Okay, Onyango, I'll post this question to you. So, Jareed made recommendations to the UN Office of High Commissioner for Human Rights. What were some of the recommendations and why were they made?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Max, for the opportunity once again. The recommendations we have as Jareed, we submitted stakeholder reports to the Universal Periodic Review process based on our documentation and experience working direct with these individuals in our community. We called upon the government to ensure that everyone is protected from violence, torture, and degrading treatment, regardless of their sex orientation or sex identity. We also recommended preventing arbitrary arrest and detention, ensuring access to legal counsel and due process. Hereby, we collaborate by the police, the legal community, to help these people get justice in their matters.
Can I answer that question, Max?
Yeah, please do.
Let me repeat the question. You are asking, Hurley made recommendations to the UN Office of the High Commission for Human Rights, and what were some of those recommendations and why did we make them? In response to that, Hurley submitted a stakeholder report to the Universal Periodic Review, which is abbreviated as UPR process. Based on our documentation and experience working direct with affected communities, because we on the ground, we know what is taking place. Our recommendation focused on basic human rights protections. So we called on the government to ensure that everyone is protected from violence, torture, and any treatment, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. We also recommended preventing arbitrary arrests, detention, and ensuring access to legal counsel and due process. We also called for investigations and prosecution of acts of violence committed by both state and non-state actors, because you have seen government in many cases when it comes to the LGBTQ victim, they are not doing anything. They just reject. So that's why we pointed out that point. And we also recommended non-discrimination, access to essential services, and better protection for people in detention. We also recommended reviewing laws and policies that criminalize or enabling discrimination against LGBTQ persons. And on this one, this year in March, we conducted a protest. We marched to the parliament holding our posters, asking the government to remove the Anti-Homosexuality Act and also to remove the death punishment because it violates fundamental rights and the constitution. The reason behind these recommendations is simple. Our work is based on what we see happening to people on the ground. When someone is beaten, arrested, evicted, or denied justice, we don't just see it as an individual incident, but we see a broader pattern that requires institutional solutions.
Just a quick follow-up question about that. You said that you conducted a protest and marched to the parliament in Uganda. What kind of worries did you and the people protesting have? Because that seems to almost draw attention to you from forces that may not support you or the human rights that you're trying to promote.
We are a small group, and we understand that marching to the parliament is risky. But if we all keep quiet, there is no any way how we are going to push for change, for any change, to bring change in Uganda. So to achieve what we want to achieve in the LGBTQ community in Uganda, we have to be strong enough to risk our lives, and we advocate for change when it comes to the policies and the laws which are affecting the LGBTQ persons. So before even we conducted that march, we expected arrests. We expected to face the challenges during the march, but we knew all of that and we said we shall go there and we see what is happening. What we wanted, we just wanted the government to fulfill its commitment they made during the UPR, Universal Periodic Review in Geneva. Because every 4.5 years in Geneva, they call countries to present their reports, their human rights reports in Geneva, Switzerland. So during the process of the UPR, Uganda has been promising to look into the laws and the policies which are affecting the LGBTQ community. But nothing has been changing. No implementation has taken place. All their promises is fake. They just promise and end there, just in words, but they don't implement. So that's why we decided to conduct that march. And we showed them that people who are advocating for change when it comes to the LGBTQ issues, they are existing in Uganda. And we wanted to be heard by the government. That's why we committed ourselves to conduct such a risk activity. Because if we all keep quiet, no one will go there. And if the more we keep quiet, the more they will bring the more laws which will affect the community. That's why we decided to conduct a march.
So I just have a question about the law itself. What are some of the things that the law implemented? I know you'd mentioned to me personally that there was restrictions on people renting property to people that were suspected of being LGBTQIA. What all was involved in this law? What things are not acceptable in Uganda because of this law?
Most of the time, some of the LGBTQ communities are trans, and it is very easy to be recognized. They are very easy to be recognized by the community people. And some of them, they wear like women, so they are very easy to be recognized. So once they are recognized, the community people, they do file complaints to the landlord of that person. And then the landlord decides to take action by issuing the eviction letter, or maybe if not, he can go and report the matter at the police. But most of the times, the landlords or the building owners, they get information from people, from the neighbors, from the community people. That is what results to eviction.
Uganda's constitution had a provision that you had a 48-hour constitutional guarantee to be charged, or you could be released from prison. Like, that was a part of Uganda's original constitution, this idea that 48 hours, you have to be charged or you can be released. What has been your experience with LGBTQIA peoples with regard to that 48-hour constitutional guarantee? Are they getting that?
So first of all, the constitution provides important safeguards regarding detention, and it requires that a person who is arrested be brought before a court within the constitutional period. However, our experience is that there can be significant gaps between what the law provides or says and what happens to people in practice. Through our access to justice work, we have encountered cases involving delayed access to legal assistance, delays in case processing, and people who do not fully understand their rights while in detention. And here we have documented a lot of cases when it comes to the police officers or the court who violates the constitution. That is one of the reasons why HURID provides legal awareness and case follow-ups. For example, during our recent prison visit at Jinja Main Prison, we met 397 remandees or inmates and registered 84 cases from people requesting legal assistance, many of their concerns involving delayed trials, lack of information about bail, plea bargaining, difficult tracking their case files in the courts of law. And we registered these claims. And what I can tell you, Max, we are doing our best. We are working day and night, submitting letters to the courts, telling them, putting the inmates or our clients request their cases to be put on sanctions in the high courts, for those who have cases in the high courts and in the chief magistrate courts. It also shows that having rights written in the constitution is important, but people also need practical access to those rights. A person sitting in a prison cell may not know what their rights are, may not know how to apply for bail, may not know how to follow up their cases, may not know have access to a lawyer. So our law is to help bridge that gap between legal rights and people's ability to get justice.
I want to point out, I don't know that we've fully addressed all of the things that HURID are doing. So you've got that legal assistance portion that you just spoke of, but I just want to recount all of the facets of what HURID are doing for the LGBTQIA community in Uganda. You're providing emergency shelter for peoples that may be homeless. You're providing prison visits to, I assume, bolster the spirits of people who are imprisoned and, again, provide legal assistance to them. You're providing community rights awareness, trying to inform just other citizens of people's human rights and dignity. You're helping with economic empowerment, trying to find ways for people to remain employed and remain viable economically, and engaging with community leaders to try to educate them in, I assume, the goal of overturning this ridiculous Anti-Homosexuality Act completely because of what it does to rob that human dignity. So I did want to make sure that I pointed out all those things that you're doing?
Yes, those are the services we offer to the community.
Is there anything else that you think that we should know about what you're doing?
The remaining information, it is about our team. So we have a team of 32 staff members. In this team, we have legal officers or lawyers. We have the administration. We have the advocates, people who advocate for the policies. We have facilitators who facilitate the hands-on skills, empowering the members, the queer persons in the communities, and also the inmates in the prisons. So I will send you a photo when we are training the prisoners how to make a liquid soap. Also, we have been in existence for over now 10 years because we founded Hurid in 2009. And also, we work from Monday to Saturday. We open from 8 to 5:30 in the evening. Our organization was appointed by the Municipality Council of Lugazi to provide decent work. They appointed us on the committee to do the decent work by fighting for the rights of protecting the workers in Lugazi Municipality. So this has given us a chance to protect the LGBTQ employees who have been experiencing challenges after being discriminated at work by the employers, by their fellow employees. So we used that chance. We were given a contract of 3 years, being appointed by the Minister of Gender. So we use that opportunity to also protect the LGBTQ workers who works in different areas. And you also have a partnership with the Uganda. It is called the PSU. It stands for Police Standard Unit, the Uganda Police Standard Unit. This is a government organization which punishes the police officers who mismanage their work. And those police officers who misbehave, who violate the rights of people during arrests, during detention, and during investigations. So we collaborate with these people to make sure that the perpetrators, the police perpetrators who do violate the rights of the LGBT suspects in the police cells and during arrests are punished, as the law says. And we have seen many police officers being punished in the communities by the Police Standard Unit, by this organization. We have filed many claims, we have filed many complaints in their offices, and they have brought justice to the LGBTQ victims. And we are grateful. And on our side, it is a meaningful partnership with this organization of Police Standard Unit. So we are still working together to continue make sure that human rights is respected at police, during detention, and during case investigation, and also in prisons, in collaboration with the Ugandan prison service, the government institution organization. Then we also work with the local leaders, with also the security agencies, to prevent the mob justice against the LGBTQ community, because we have been sensitizing them about LGBTQ persons and their rights, telling them they are not threats. They were not made, but they are born. So we do work with them to protect every individual there in the community than before. Because previously, for the past few years, LGBTQ members in the communities, they have been punished given corporal punishments, chased away from communities, being beaten to death, their properties being burned into ashes without any good reason, just because of what they are, their sexual orientation and gender identity. So we do reach out or engage the local leaders to protect the LGBTQ individuals. Maybe what I have left out is about our participation in the UPR review, in the Universal Periodic Review in Geneva. Last year in November, I represented HURID organization and I was given a badge by the UN and also UPR to participate in the UPR review process in Geneva. The session I participated, it was in November last year, where Jamaica and other countries were reviewed, their reports were reviewed by the UPR, by the Universal Periodic Review. So it was a big experience on my side, and I had a chance to address the challenges which are affecting the LGBTQ community in Uganda. And it was a great honor on my side to speak on the floor there in Geneva review process, because it is not easy to break through to get such opportunity. The remaining information is that we keep on advancing our human rights work by getting the scholarships from the German Federal Foreign Office. So they grant us scholarships in appreciation of our work. And we do go there and we study the advanced courses. I myself, I studied at Geneva International Academy of Humanitarian Law and Human Rights. So I participated in a course titled Universal Periodic Review and Human Rights, Raising the Bar on Accountability. So the course was helpful on my side because I'm bringing the change and I'm implementing what I got from that course in Geneva. And it also helped me to create a network where we shared experience, where we shared information, where we exchanged the information and the best strategies on how to achieve equality in our country and non-discrimination. So I met many people who have contributed achieving non-discrimination in their countries. So I met people from Georgia country. I met people from UK. I met people from Poland. I met people from Italy. So they shared with me and gave me different strategies on how we can achieve what we want to achieve, on how we can achieve equality and non-discrimination in Uganda, and also on how we can challenge the policies which are affecting the LGBTQ community in Uganda. So what I can say, my participation in the UPR review, it was a great opportunity on my side to connect with the people, to make friends, to get collaborations with the organizations which have already achieved their goals, the non-discrimination and equality in their countries. So we have seen that in Netherlands, Spain, Poland, Germany, where I have been and where I have met people, homosexuality is illegal, it is not illegal. And they are living a safe environment where they can do what they need, where they can do what they want. I understand that there are some issues, there are some little issues like the violence or whatever, mockings and whatever. But it is not the same environment like ours here in Uganda. Their environment is different, is very different. What I can say is it is fair. But when it comes to our side, we are living in an hostile environment. We are operating in an environment where we experience a lot of challenges, where we get many attacks and where we have state and non-state perpetrators. So without any good reason. So the environments are different. That's why their contribution for the strategies, it was helpful on my side. And I'm using them to implement them in Uganda so that we can create a change here in Uganda. We can create an environment where the LGBTQ members can live freely with zero discrimination, getting justice in courts of law, living a safe environment, and also to make sure that those laws which were brought by the members of parliament, they are removed from the constitution.
When I talked to you before, you made a comment that really struck me, and it was that if you're a coward, you'll never succeed. And I truly appreciate the courage that you're showing in Uganda, because as you say, many, many countries around the world are facing issues related to LGBTQIA rights, but none as severely right now as what Uganda's facing. The stakes in Uganda are so much higher than anywhere in the world. And the courage that you are showing through your organization to make the changes in Uganda and influence the rest of the world's understanding of the LGBTQIA community is truly magnificent and is absolutely an example of strong courage. And I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to bring you on as our secular saint for this episode, because I think that courage needs to be applauded.
Okay, thank you so much, Max, for appreciating. Yeah, as I said earlier, it is a life sacrificing because it is not easy. We get arrested, we get a lot of attacks, so we experience a lot. But I have a closing message for the podcast. Please remember the humanity of person behind the label, LGBTQ persons, and also the political arguments. They are human beings. Some are young people who have been rejected by their families. Some are workers trying to make a living. Some are students. Some are parents. Some are people who simply want to live without being attacked. So at Hurid, we cannot solve every problem, but we can make sure that when someone is in crisis, they know that they are not completely alone. Hurid is existing. So we can provide a safe space. We can help someone understand their rights. We can accompany someone through justice system. We can provide skills that help someone earn a living. We can talk to the community leaders and security agencies. And we can continue telling people that every human being deserves dignity. For me, hope means creating practical opportunities for people to move from fear to safety, from homelessness to shelter, from vulnerability to empowerment. Also, I call for independence. So this is the work we are trying to do through Hurid. And we believe that if we can continue choosing humanity over hatred and understanding over fear, the change is possible.
And I appreciate that message very much. Thank you very much, Philippe.
You are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Sacred Legions, hosted by Max Goler. Original music by Jamie Calland. To hear archived episodes, visit our website, www.sacredlegions.org, or check us out on your favorite podcast service. You will learn more about people behaving decently in indecent times and about the nonprofit organizations they support. Don't forget to check out our merchandise shop. Sacred Legions is a production of Sacred Legions, LLC.